The church, as constituted by her divine founder, is an external, visible, organized society under the visible headship of the successor of St. Peter, Christ's vicar upon earth. In the Protestant theory, however, the true church of Christ is nothing else than the assembly of those who, on account of the confidence interiorly conceived of the remission of their sins, have the justice of Christ imparted to them by God, and are accordingly predestined to eternal life. And this church, known to God alone, is the unique church of the promises of indefectibility, to which our Lord Jesus Christ promised his assistance to the consummation of the world. Since, however, true believers, instructed by the Holy Ghost, can manifest their faith exteriorly, can communicate their impressions and feelings to others, and may employ the symbols of the sacraments to stir up their faith, they give rise to a visible church, which, nevertheless, is not the church instituted by Christ. The membership of this church is not necessary for salvation, and it may assume different forms according to circumstances. The true invisible church of Christ is always hidden, unseen in the multitude. A direct consequence of this theory is that indefinite multiplication of non-Catholic Christian sects with which we are so familiar today, and which is so repugnant to the essential unity of Christ's mystical body. The principle of private judgment has led to even more disastrous results. If every man has the right to decide for himself what religious truths he will accept, if faith is to be merely an autonomous conviction, the way is open for an ultimate deification of man himself, and for a complete rejection of the supernatural and of the divine plan for the organization of human society. Rationalism, naturalism, the revolutionary deification of humanity, masonry, socialism, communism, may all be traced to the undue glorification of human reason which characterized the theories of the so-called reformers. In the mystical body of Christ in the modern world, Dr. Fahey shows us in detail the consequences which followed from the Lutheran revolt, and he deals at length with the various errors and the various forces which at present menace the divinely constituted social order. His work is a most important one. Perhaps never before, since the establishment of Christianity, has there been such an organized effort to overthrow it, to dethrone Christ, to destroy his church, to set aside God and the order which he has established. In some countries, notably Russia, Mexico, and Spain, the veil of secrecy has been withdrawn. In many others, the same Masonic and communistic influences are at work, but their activities are to a large extent underground. To deceive the unwary, something philanthropic or national is usually made the immediate, ostensible object, but the underlying primary purpose is always the same. We know indeed that the divine order will survive these attacks, that the church is indefectible and will emerge triumphant from this struggle as she has done from former ones. We have, however, no guarantee that she will not be wounded in the fight, and whether her wounds are to be serious or light will depend, under God, almost entirely on the number, zeal, and preparedness of her defenders. Now, an essential prerequisite for a proper presentation is a knowledge of the nature and extent of the menace of the organization of the forces behind it, and of the diabolical hatred of Christianity and of everything supernatural with which these forces are imbued. This knowledge is to be found in Dr. Fahey's work. In fact, nowhere else, as far as we know, is there such a logical, coordinated treatment of the subject. A notable feature of the work is its excellent documentation. Dr. Fahey does not ask us to accept his mere ipsy dixit. In his study of his subject, he has gone to the original sources, and he gives his readers the full benefit of his researches. His discussion of the IRB, the IRA, and other Irish organizations, and the documents which he adduces in this connection, have a special interest and importance for Irish Catholics. This book is somewhat difficult, but not too much so, and certainly not more difficult than the nature of the treatment demanded. A little effort will be required to grasp fully all Dr. Fahey's points, but we can assure the reader that he will be amply rewarded for the labor which he expends. We hope that the book will be as widely read as it deserves. If it is, it will undoubtedly exercise a far-reaching influence for good in warning faithful children of the Church of the menace directed against her and against the whole divine plan for the organization of human society, and in stimulating them to take effective measures to meet this menace. J. Kinnane, Bishop of Waterford and Lismore, All Souls Day, 1934.